بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of the most prominent ustad of the Tanwi Sahib rahmatullah alayh was Sheikh Al Hind Maulana Mahmud Al Hasan Sahib rahmatullah alayh. He had come over to Tanabon, and his coming had coincided with some of Maulana's writing. He used to be doing some writing at the time. Perhaps it was Maulana Rum, some kitab of his, and he was doing the commentary on the kitab. While he's seated there, he's concerned about it, that this is a time that I do this commentary and it is my ustad that is around. What do I do? The ustad can't be neglected, and I've got a routine. That routine also must not be neglected. The ustad obviously is the ustad, is the teacher, and I owe everything to him. But then it's a khidmat of deen that is for Allah Ta'ala, and that khidmat also cannot be neglected. So when I was in the state of confusion, then I said, the best thing is, let me present it to my ustad. He's around and he will know the circumstance, he'll know the situation, and it will be a lesson for me for the rest of my life. So I told him, see, I've got a problem here. It's my time that I do this sharah, this commentary of Maulana Rum. But I can't leave you. You being my senior, you hardly come around. I've got this opportunity, it's a blessing, it's a blessed opportunity. What do I do? So Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah says to him, Mere wajah se apne kisi maamulat ko na choro. On account of my presence, don't leave out any of your routine. So now this is a lesson for me now, for the rest of my life, that when I'm in this type of a situation, what I need to be doing. So I went, I did some of my work. Obviously I couldn't do all the work because my mind is still consumed in my ustad. I did the necessary reception, hospitality, I did all that. But he's come here to me and I'm not with him, then it would seem as though I'm disinterested in him. Now, he's given me the permission, in spite of him giving me the permission, then to my mind, it will just be towards him. Psychologically, it will be just be towards him. So I did whatever I needed to do, the 4-3-4 lines, I did the commentary, and I then went up. So he comments on this and he says, see, when you've got a routine is called a ma'amul, right? The routine must be done, even though it's done little. For some reason or the other, you can't do it the full. For a valid reason, on that particular day, you couldn't do it full. It doesn't mean that you leave it out. And then he says thereafter that doing it and being punctual upon it, isse barkat jari rehti hai. That barkat that you require to complete and accomplish goes on flowing. But the moment you cut it off, then you are snapping off the barakat. Mustafa Rahmatullah used to say that if on one, just one day, you leave out mutala, you are used to doing talim in your homes, right? And the talim has to be done with focus. It mustn't be that you're doing talim and one child is playing around, pulling out your topi, taking out your sandals somewhere, right? It's done religiously, it's done like how you are concentrating on your business. So it's a business that you are doing and you are doing it correctly. So he says that if one day's ma'amul is left out, 40 din ka quwwat-e-mutala khatam ho jata hai. Then the strength of that mutala, the strength of that focus is then affected for 40 days. But if there is a continuous process, you're doing it, then you will get the barakat flowing all the time. You're understanding it now, and you're understanding it at a better level again, and it's just progressing. Your understanding is just progressing all the time. It may be the same incident, it may be the same article that you are reading, but as you're reading it repeatedly, then at every recitation, Allah Pak is giving you a different understanding. Now this happens in nearly all of our kitabs, that with every ta'aleem and every mutala, every time that you study, come across that same article, then you're getting a different understanding altogether. I was explaining one person, that look at the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? So he was in a situation, and he was getting concerned about the type of treatment he was getting from some of the people that were around him. They were deceptive in the in the mannerisms. They were misleading. Right? So in all this, now he wanted to know what to do. Well, I'm doing business, and someone is having a deceiving approach. He is misleading. Should I also become deceptive like him? Should I have that same type of approach like how he has got towards me? Or my approach must be straight? So the thought just went on to Yusuf alayhi salam. I said, see, the brothers, what didn't they do to destroy Yusuf alayhi salam? What didn't they do? They connived first to murder him, then to throw him into a well. Again, just like attempted murder, right? Then to sell him, and to sell him for a few pence. Otherwise, they just don't have any interest in him. Right? And then to make up a false story and present it to the father. Right? Now, can you imagine the crime that they have committed? Attempted murder, then throwing an innocent infant child, into a well, separating him from his parents, and as a result, the parents' eyes are lost, the eyesight is lost just because of this, right? Then making up a false story. Right? Now, when any person connives and he plans and he makes up a false story, right? So that whole falsehood, the deception coils around and it comes and hunts him again. Now, he may think, I'm over with this. I'm over with this conniving. I'm over with all my conspiracies. I've done what I've needed to do. But little does he realize that the planner is Allah Ta'ala. When the planner is Allah Ta'ala, وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّئُ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ, then that same thing will recoil and rebounce upon you. You have been conspiring against someone, that thing rebounces against you again. So the whole thing rebounces and comes back to these children, these brothers, and then Yusuf al-Islam is crowned with success. So the one that was patient, the one that was truthful, and the one that was honest. So what was in Yusuf was these three things. He was patient, he was honest, and he was truthful. Inni is Hafizun Alim. I'll be truthful, I'll be honest, right through. He's truthful, he's honest, and he's patient as well. When the person is like this, he's truthful, he's patient, he's honest, and he's not transgressing the limits, then Allah Pak says at the end that you will get it, you will gain it. For some short period it will happen that you will go through some difficulty, some struggle. And this is the system of the world, that you must go through some struggle. No person came in this world without a struggle. This is the nature of the world, that you go through some struggle. This type of a comment is heard quite often, you know, that they don't want to hear, people don't want to hear about azab, people don't want to hear about punishment. Right? Now, a simple question is, how do you expect this whole operation of this universe to work without azab, without punishment? Right? Now, say for example, there is no traffic law, right, and there is no one to guide the traffic. And everybody is doing his own thing. He is traveling on one end at full speed, 200. And the opposite person is traveling again at full speed. What's going to happen? There's no law. There's no one to guide the traffic. There's going to be accidents. There's going to be deaths. There's going to be casualties. There's going to be problems in that. Now then, in order to guide the traffic, if you have a traffic police that is very, very lenient, very considerate, say, please, you know, for your own sake, please be a little bit considerate. I ask you, is it going to work? He's being very considerate, you know, very kind, very polite, very, very lenient with all the motorists. I ask you that, will that work? Don't work. Right. Now he becomes a little bit stern. Say, no nonsense. No terms. No coke money. Nothing, no negotiation. No negotiation. You ever go against the traffic law, then we give you a 100,000 rand ticket, and if you don't pay that 100,000 rand cash, you're sitting in jail for 6 months. Now tell me, will there be any problems? They're very strict, they're very stern. You can't even joke with them. Come in cash. Now, they take that hard stance, but because of the hard stance that they do take, everybody enjoys the comfort, the calmness, the peace, the safety of the road. You want to travel on the road. See that? So this hard stance has to be taken. It's logical, right? It has to be taken. Now those that say that this hard stance and this punishment and all that is not the right thing, really they're not understanding what they're talking about. Show me one country where they don't have a law system. And if you contravene the law, it happens. Show me one country in the world that doesn't have a law system. And they're very strict about the law. They have a law system and they're very strict about the law. Now, in the absence of the law, what happens? Your own wife can be raped, can be murdered, right? Your child can be kidnapped, you can be kidnapped, you can be hijacked, everything can happen. So they needed to have some type of a stringent law, right? Then there was a need to have a law in the hereafter as well. Because in this world, what happens? Right? For the harmonious operation of this life, you needed a strict law. But you needed a strict law to continue in the hereafter as well. Because if you don't have a strict law that is governing you and governing the hereafter, then the one that is intelligent and smart, he knows how to bypass the system. He's got influence, he's got affluence. So when he's got the influence, he's got the affluence, then he knows how to bypass. He can buy anybody off. He can sell anybody he wants, right? So, murdering anybody will not be a serious thing for him. Because I can buy anybody, I can sell anybody, I got the finance, I can do what I want. Now, with his influence and his affluence, he got away from this world, then how does the person feel that he got away from this world and he got away in the hereafter as well? He murdered so and so. So, my child, my father, my brother, my business, this is what he did to me. And then you hear that because of his intelligence and his smartness, he got through the system, he bypassed the system here, and he bypassed the system in the hereafter because there was no system there also. See? Now if there is a check and balance here and he bypassed it here, he somehow got away from it from here, so he needs to understand that there is another system there. And that system there is such that no influence can be used. No influence. No contact, no influence, no recompense, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing works. لَا تَنْفَعُهَا شَفَاعَةٌ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ. Now when that check and balance is suspended over your head, right, no influence, nothing, then that will keep the person straight. Right? It's his wealth. If it's one sin that I'm owing him, I need to see I settle everything. I don't want to get caught there. So this can only happen if you have a check and balance in this world, you have a check and balance in the hereafter. That is called the day of judgment, that check and balance. To see everybody, justice is restored. What was owed to you, whoever had wronged you, he must pay for the wrong that he's done. Because how do you feel? What you are saying, that there mustn't be any check and balance, there must be only love and all that, right? And tell someone, you got a new Cadillac parked here, right? And he must steal it, he must go away. And you tell the police, just get my car and don't tell the person anything. You know? Oh, never mind, he went away in the spirit of love now. In the spirit of love, it's alright now. Let him take my Cadillac, it's all right. Do you ever do that? In the spirit of love, let him take it. Do you do it? For yourself, it's not acceptable. But in the spirit of love, let him carry on. You want that motor car of yours. That person is owing you money, but I want my money. 10 million, 20 million. You do everything. Go to court, fight, and do everything just to recover, recoup your money. Won't you do that? Why don't you say, though, in the spirit of love, let them take it. We love all humanity, you know, all together, one parent, one father, one mother. And why should we have this check and balances? And why should we take them to court and fight and dispute and let them have restless nights, sleepless nights? Why should we do that? Do you apply that system for yourself? No. So we all concur that we have to have a system. Until and unless there isn't a system, nothing can work. So by Allah Ta'ala also, there is that system that is required. And that system is called Qiyamat. The system is called judgment. The system is such that no influence, no negotiations. No influence, no negotiation, no wealth, no recompense, nothing, nothing works. So that system then brings you to your proper senses, to your proper understanding. So we are talking about Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he's speaking about that barakat flowing. What is the literal meaning of barakat? Say tabarak, you know, what's the meaning of the literal meaning? The literal meaning of barakat is abundance of good. What? Abundance of good. Now that abundance of good can come in several ways. It can come with a few rands. But in that few rands, Allah Ta'ala can place an abundance of good. Right? One person's father or mother had taken seriously ill, right? So he had worked it out with his brothers, because his father is taken very seriously ill. So we'll work it out. What we'll do is one person offers to do the khidmat of his father, ailing father, with the understanding that he will get no part of the inheritance. He must take care of the ailing father, and provided he will take no share of the inheritance. And if you want and share in the inheritance, then you'll get deprived of the khidmat of your father. So one brother said, alright, I dedicating myself to the service of my father, you people can enjoy all the inheritance. I don't want any share. He took the best care of his father, and the father passed away. Now, he's going through some constraints for some time. Like I say, this world is going to come with constraints. Some difficulty is going to come. Sometimes it is our problem that we create a false and artificial picture before our children. No, everything is going to work out. Everything is very smooth, enjoyable. So we don't want to speak anything that is going to be hurting the child. Anything that's going to be frightening. We don't want to discuss that in front of the child. But it's a reality of life. Sickness is a reality of life. An accident is a reality of life. Death is a reality of life. Aren't there realities? Now, we're not going to discuss it slowly, slowly. We're not going to gradually talk about it. Then in the situation where the child is confronted with this, how is he expected to confront this? I want to hide him also. I want to cover him again. Someone died now. His mother died. I want to cover it from him. His brother passed away. I will cover it from him. You can't. It's a reality of life. We'll have to introduce it to him at some point or the other. He must get mentally prepared. Be able to take things. See. So we are discussing now. We're discussing this consistency. Right? And this consistency brings about the barakat. And the barakat, I say, is abundance good. Good in abundance. And that good in abundance comes in different ways. It can happen in a little, or it can happen in a lot. Now this person is going through some constraints. He's been doing the khidmat of his father. He didn't take any share of the inheritance. Someone tells him in the dream, there is some 100 or 1,000 dinar somewhere. So he asked the person, is there any barakat in that? He said, no, there's no barakat in that. In the morning, he discusses it with his wife. This is what happened. I've done the khidmat of my father, and this was the understanding. And now I'm in constraints, and I saw such and such a thing in the dream. Must I go for it? So she said, yeah, you know, with the constraints that you're going through, you must go for it. So they say, you need to consult a woman, shaviruhunna wa khalifuhun. What mashwara they give, they must go against them. فَإِنَّ فِي مُخَالَفَتِهِنَّ الْخَيْرُ وَالْبَرَكَةِ. Because going against them brings about barakat. It was at Palan Haqqani, you know, some years ago he came here. We were children, we used to go nearly all of his bayans. Sing-song style here, for this Pakistani style. So, children, you like all these things, some sing-song and all that. It's going too smooth, then you seem to be not very interested. But then the sing-song now, after some period, then it was way away from you. All the time listening to nazams and by, it'll take you into a fairyland, to a dreamland. It's just an imagination. You're not doing anything. Your spirits are going very high here. Where I am, so Kaaba Sharif ke samne hoon. Right in front of the Kaaba Sharif, sometime in Medina, you're just dreaming. One person saw her, Nabi Salaam, in his dream. So Nabi Salaam is cautioning him. See, jo humari zyada madah karte hain, tarif karte hain, unse zyada khush nahi hote hain. Kaam karne se, humari sunnat ke upar amal karne se, hum zyada khush hote hain. Mother is just praising me. I don't get too happy with that person. Yes, I get happy with that person who's applying himself on my sunnah, my ways. That's the person that I'm looking for. Not this person that just praises. Now, sometimes we get caught up in all this. Feelings, then emotions, sentiments are just going up. Her own bayan, sentiments, and some you start crying and all that. Now, it's accomplished. See, I cried, so now it's finished. So these are all secondary things. It happens. It didn't happen. It's not a train smash. The main thing is, to go and see that I'm doing the work or not. So sometimes it is this woman that drive you, you know. They give you some suggestion, do this. So it's not for us, as men, to just listen to everything that they say. Just consult with them, but it's not for you to take everything from them. So this Haqqani was saying, give the story, you know. There was a flood in India somewhere. And this man had a wife. His wife is always, she's trying to do this, she must do against him. Anything he says, she must do something against it. Go straight and she'll go the opposite direction. Right? Take a right turn and she'll take a left turn. Put so much of onions and she'll put double the thing. So anything he says, and she must go against it. Don't put tomatoes, she must put tomatoes. Don't add salt to it, so she must add salt to it. So anyway, there was a severe flood. Everything got washed away. Cattle, whatever they had, all got washed away. Morning, he sees that his wife also is not to be found. She also disappeared. Where the cattle all disappeared, she also disappeared. So now the flood water is running in this direction, and he's going to look for his wife in the opposite direction. So they asked him, but what is this? He said, no, you see, this was this woman here. Whatever I said, she went opposite to me. So I'm looking in the opposite direction for this woman here. So many a times it happens that we get into problems because of the woman. Now look at a wedding now, simple wedding. And most cases it will happen that because of the woman you put yourself into some problem. You don't have to go into debts. You don't have to go and make a lavish thing. I don't say be like a poor person also. But you don't have to go and waste money. Use the money, but use it intelligently. No, you must go and waste it. Extravagance and buy this and have this type of a deco, etc. Now, who's going to cough out all that cash? You're going to take the burden. Sometimes you're getting into interest, sometimes you're getting into problems, haram, just to satisfy this stupid woman. Yes, you love her, you are comfortable with her, but that doesn't mean that she takes precedence to Allah Ta'ala. You don't give her preference to Allah Ta'ala. The Quran says it very clearly, that إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوًا لَكُمْ. There can be an impediment to you. Adu, I'm translating as an impediment. Because there's an impediment, an obstruction to your deeni works. It can be. But that doesn't mean now that he was going to take out a shambok and whip them. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا. We have created them a little bit with deficiency. A little bit deficient. 2 cents short, 3 cents short, sometimes 10 cents short. Especially those girls that are going to school and all that, or going for higher education, they may be sometimes 70 cents short. Those that didn't go, they may be 2 cents, 3 cents short. But they went to school and all that, they're 70 cents short. They're really short. In the name of intelligence, they do stupid things. So that's compound ignorance. One is someone is stupid, or you can understand is stupid. But in the name of intelligence, you do stupid things, then there's compound stupidity. Right. So what the Quran Sharif says, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا, that they're going to have that deficiency, but what should your response be? That you forgive, you overlook, and you cover the faults. تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. Three words Allah gives, not only one word. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. They're going to have this trouble, no matter what you try and fix up in them. At the 11th hour, something, they may just say something that is not right. It'll just frustrate you, it'll just agitate you. Everything was going very, very smooth, everything was just going right. And one word she had to say, that's going to be testing your endurance. It's an endurance test. Okay, are you still going to be smooth, or are you going to go off? But that's a test. The test comes right at the 11th hour, maybe the 11th and a half hour. Right at that time it comes. And now that is to see what's the level of your endurance. When we need to see them, we need to see, alright, it's on account of this woman, right, that your iman is safe. Ask any man, if his wife is around, his mind not floating around. Haram, nothing is going. But if there's no wife around, you don't know where the mind will go. Haram, haram, everything the mind will get drowned in, right? Just because of the wife not being around. So your iman is safe on account of this woman. So think to yourself that if I'm not getting any more enjoyment, but the fact that my iman is safe, how much I owe it to her that my iman is safe. And you turn the whole thing around, if you're not around, her mind doesn't float around. Your mind floats, and you get 99% of Muslim women. If you're not around, your mind will float. But if you are around, their minds don't float. They're very innocent, very clean, very pure, very chaste in their ways. A lot of chastity. Allah has made them like that. So don't you owe it to them, whatever it is now, something went off. Not to my taste, not to the way I would like it. Let's forget it. The fact my iman is safe, my mind is at ease when she's around, that I owe it to her. So see how beautiful Allah has explained it. وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٍ. You forgive, overlook, and cover their faults. It's small, small things now. Don't make a story about it. And don't expect, don't wait for her to become perfect. Miss World, don't wait for that. She still miss you, right? She won't become Miss World. She'll become Miss you. So you just use her properly, correctly, and you look after her, take care of your iman. So we're talking of this barakah, right? This person sees the dream again and says, oh, you'll get 100 or something, from 1,000 to 100. The wife again tells him, take it. You know, you're going through all these difficulties, parishani, why don't you just go and take that thing? Anyway, he says, there's no barakat in it, there's no good in it, leave it out. Next day, the third day now, he's seeing again, go again, but there's only one dirham. So then he goes and picks it up, right? Because he reconfirmed, okay, now it's going to be barakat. First, no barakat. Second one, no barakat. The third one, when he asked in the dream, is there going to be some barakat? Yes, there's going to be barakat. See, that hand of Allah Ta'ala must be with you. Whatever you are doing, whatever we are doing, we look for the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Don't just look for that abundance, but look for the hand of Allah Ta'ala. Is it in whatever I'm doing? My business, my work, my teaching, whatever it is, whatever the nature of the work, but you are doing it, and you got the hand of Allah Ta'ala with you, then you got barakat. Umar Panpuri Ramadan says that when these Arab countries had just got their independence around late 50s and early 60s, so Hazrat Yusuf Ramadan had sent him to many of these Arab countries, right, to initiate and introduce the Jamaat work. So anyway, he had made the announcement, like how the Jamaat will make the announcement, and after the namaz, everybody dispersed. There's only one person sitting. For all that 3 hours, And he is giving him the lecture, giving the bayan. Now, at the end of the bayan, when I asked him if he understood, it turned out that the person was deaf. 3 hours gone. I gave a 3 hour bayan with the impression that this person is listening, is taking on. Because he was seeing, looking at me for the 3 hours. And at the end, it turned out that this man is deaf. So Mawlana found it a little bit uneasy. He said, well, what I'll do? Let me just write it out. He wrote it out. He said, well, wherever you go, you just talk about this thing. Just read this thing. Anyway, after about 4 or 5 months, he had to go to that person's town. And he saw the big one, big jamaat there. Big jamaat waiting. What happened? No, this man here, he came with some bayan from somewhere, and he'd been just passing it on. And in the humble effort of his, hundreds of people just got influenced, got affected. See, so you don't know where that barakat lies. And that barakat generally comes when you are listening to your seniors. Consistency. Mawlana had that usul in him, that my seniors, Moisu Rahmatullah is alive, other Shaykh Ul-Hid Hadith Rahmatullah is alive, I got their duas, I got their direction, I must just be working accordingly. How it will work out, Allah Pak knows. It was just that one person, but that one person turned out hundreds. You see. See, one is the routine, and with the routine to listen to your elders, to your seniors, listen to them nicely. They may have some differences within themselves, but we don't fall into the differences. It's not for us to fall into the differences and worry now who's right, who's wrong. It's what is right, we will carry on, and we continue with the work. We will not get caught in the differences, then the work is neglected. We become part of the difference. Now, you didn't score anyway. You didn't do any good for yourself. In fact, you brought some problems into yourself that now you're looking at the differences, not looking at the work. Look at the work and continue the work. The differences, assign someone to try and sort all the differences. Someone senior, and if you can't speak to him, then write to him and just ask him to look after the differences. But we get into the work. Everybody gets into the work. So the differences will sort itself in its own time. But because of the differences, we don't lose the plot. As we will approach Qiyamah, in every work you'll find more and more confusion, more doubts, more complications you will find. And this is the only thing that comes to my mind. By looking through the work, looking through the muttafaqli, what it's agreed upon, just look into that and carry on. These differences don't fall into it. Everybody mustn't fall into it. Because some people's nature is such that they fall into difference. Their whole life, they as though they only live for differences. They just take a relish, they take an enjoyment to listen or to get involved in a difference. Someone is involved in a difference, they like to be like spectators. But why get into this? Or the Sheikh Sadi Rahmatullah says, he saw one person outwardly, he seemed like a Sufi, you know. So, he saw that person outwardly, he looked like a Sufi, dressed up like a Sufi, like how he will carry on, like a Sufi is carrying on. But he saw him engaged in a battle with someone. Fighting, disputing, shouting, quarreling. And for days it carried on. So he says, if this person was an Allah wala, like he outwardly appears that he's an Allah wala, he would have never been entangled in this fight. Had he been an Allah wala, a person that was deeply in love in Allah Ta'ala, then he wouldn't have been entangled because he wouldn't have found the time for this. The fact that he is entangled in this shows that he doesn't have the real love for Allah Ta'ala. A simple illustration to prove this or to show this is, say, you haven't seen your wife for a year, gone on Jamaat, and apparently there was no way to contact her. They send you to such a place, nowhere to contact, no SMS, nothing. And you were impassionate. You just made nikah, and they send you out straight flying, 1 year in Jamaat, right? No contact, absolutely no contact, right? You just saw her one day before the marriage, you saw her, and then they send you flying in Jamaat. Oh, from there now, no contact, no taluk, no letters, no SMS, no WhatsApp, no Skype, nothing. No contact at all. But you saw her and you were overawed, you were overwhelmed with her love. Right? Now, somehow you came back, right? And she's just within meters away from where you are, right? And you're going now. You can imagine now, what would be the state and the frame of the mind? At that time, 1 year qurban you made. It's like your nikah day. Because you didn't meet her, nothing. And you impassioned about her. You're young, 19, 20, 21, at that age you are. As someone is, Doho say you are 50, 70, 80, 90, nothing in him left now. But now this is young, he's spirited, he's got the emotions, all the feelings, and he just came back, and he's within meters. At that time, someone wants to entertain you on discussion, on disputes. After, we'll see after this, let me carry on. Won't we have that feeling? So, when a person has got that type of attachment with Allah Ta'ala, then all these things don't concern him. But if he doesn't have that type of contact with Allah Ta'ala, with that relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then he'll get involved in every dispute, every fight, every quarrel, everything will just pull him, just attract him. There wasn't another way that I could explain this. When you talk about marriage and all these things, it makes the picture a little bit more interesting and easier to understand. So this Sheikh Sadi Ramda says, he gives a conclusion. He says, this person, outwardly, he shows himself to be a Sufi. Outwardly, he shows himself to be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. Had he really been in love, then he would have been entangled in this. The fact that he's getting entangled and pulled into this shows that he doesn't have the real love of Allah Ta'ala. See, Allah Pak says in the Quran Sharif about this class of people, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant addressed him, right? When the word that is used here in the Quran, Jahilun, right? Jahilun doesn't mean just an ignorant person only, but the person that is behaving like an ignorant person. One is an ignorant person, and one is a person that is behaving like an ignorant person. One is a person who is educated, he is disciplined, right? He is respectable, so he addresses himself in a different way. And one is a person who behaves ignorantly because of his ignorance or in spite of his knowledge. See, one is because of his ignorance, and the other is that in spite of him being a knowledgeable person, but he behaves like an ignorant person. So now, what should be your response? How do you conduct yourself? Do you also become ignorant like him? He behaves in a stupid manner. Should you also behave like a stupid person? He behaves with aggression. Should you also become aggressive? He behaves like a lunatic. Should you also become a lunatic? His language is foul and not right. Should your language also be the same? Or you should be dignified? What should your approach be? What should your approach be? So the Quran Sharif is showing, إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Okay, when people address him in an ignorant fashion, then they say words of peace, salama. Now the word salam comes from, it can have two root meanings. One is from the word taslim. Taslim is like making salam, assalamu alaikum, right? So that is one root meaning of taslim, of salam. We say assalamu alaikum, right? That you are making dua for the person, right? You are making dua for peace for the person. Here, what is the Quran saying? That when people talk to him in an ignorant fashion, then they say words of peace. Now, I say the words of peace can have two root meanings. One is to make dua for peace for that person. And the other meaning can come from tasallum. Allama Qurtubi says, can have a second meaning, a second root meaning, and the second root meaning can come from tasallum. And tasallum means, in a nutshell, in an easy translation, is how to avoid any trouble. How to avoid any problem, any trouble, any fight, how to avoid it. See that? Qalu salam, what does it mean? A simple translation is, how must they avoid any confrontation, any problem, any argument, any quarrel, but how should we avoid it? Now that is a real Sufi. That is a real Allah. You can see now, I want to talk to this person here, one-on-one, or however I'm going to speak to him, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a quarrel. It's going to be a confrontation. Must I take the bull by the horns, and then knock horns to the person? Or must I move away? Now, people use this word, but really, people don't know what they talk about. Many times they say judgmental, or what they say, but they don't know what they're talking about. They really, 70-90% of the people don't know what they talk about. So if you really analyze, they're talking stupid, they're talking all nonsense, right? They use the word because they heard some words, someone saying judgmental or whatever, so they want to just imitate that person. But what does it really mean? How does it apply? They don't know how it applies. the Quran is saying, Qalu Salam, what it means, that they say words that will avoid any confrontation, any fight, any problem, any controversy. It will just avoid it completely. In Saharanpur, there was an alim living. So, in the old days, in fact, whilst we were in India also, many homes were mud built, you know, clay homes. Right? Came the rainy season, then that rain will wash away all those walls. Sometimes one wall is collapsed, sometimes second wall is collapsed. After the rainy season, they have to pick it up again. Right? So the whole wall had collapsed. Now, the neighbor made a claim that this wall belongs to me. Mullah says, see, I got the paperwork, everything, that this thing belongs to me. See the markings, everything, the pegs and all, you'll find. He says, I don't want to listen to anything. If you're not in agreement, we're going to court. But in the meanwhile, Mullah was a very influential person. He had attorneys and everybody coming to him. So, they reassured him, by Mullah, you know what, just let him take it to court. We'll fix him up, put him in his place. We'll send him to the cleaners. We'll really put him in his place. Mullah says, no. He went up to the neighbor and he says to the neighbor, all right, you know, my land, sell it back to me. It's my land, I got the papers, I'm not afraid of anything, but my land, sell it back to me. Now those attorneys and those friends of his are asking, but why did you have to accept this type of a bargain? So he says, see what he says, see the wisdom that is coming out. He says, there's two reasons. One is, people will say, now, Mullah is also running to court. Because I have to run to court, everybody will have his own 5 cents to contribute towards this whole controversy. Number two is, the hadith has left a lot of emphasis on the rights of a neighbor. Until Nabi Samad said that, something to this effect, that I was afraid that that Jibreel may just come with a wahi, that the neighbor must be made part, it must be made an heir in my inheritance. What? The neighbor must be made an heir in the whole estate. So much of emphasis. And I'm afraid perhaps I did not fulfill some of the rights of the neighbor. Today I found an occasion, I could have settled everything, you know, whatever claims, 100,000, 200,000, just give him and settle all my backlog, you know, what I was supposed to be doing, I haven't done. And now I've got an occasion just to settle everything. So let me settle it, perhaps by Allah Ta'ala, just because of this one forgiving of the neighbor and this consideration towards it, Allah Ta'ala will forgive all the backlog. Now you see, this forgiving, overlooking, not getting into a controversy, not getting into a fight, it may seem as though you are a coward. It may seem as though you don't have any courage, you're not a man, you're not a man of determination. But really, how much of peace it brings to you. And you get caught into a controversy, thereafter look at your namaz. Do you have the concentration in your namaz? Your mind is working on that. You're going for hajj, and your mind is just working on that controversy, on the dispute. You're sitting at home, you're thinking about that controversy. You're with your wife and children, you're on a holiday, on that controversy, on the fight. No way you can concentrate. You can't concentrate on anything that you're doing. In your business, you can't concentrate and focus. Your namaz, you can't focus. That is devastated. In any act of your ibadah, your Quran recitation, everything is devastated. Everything has been affected. Just because of you getting caught into a controversy, into a debate. But he says, well, I forgive that person, forget now. It's between Allah Ta'ala and him. But myself, I have forgiven the person. I don't want to get caught into this. Now, you may have given something, but the reward is far greater. The returns that you get, even mentally, spiritually, materially, is far greater. Because you are a more relaxed person, you are a more calm person. Your conscience are totally clear. I haven't hurt anybody, I haven't robbed anybody, I haven't cheated anybody. Otherwise, even if you have overcome the situation, but mentally you are traumatized that I've robbed the person, I've cheated the person, I've done him down. So I don't know when that hidden stick of Allah will come. You see, in this way, he's taken some of yours, alright. But don't you feel, mentally, don't you feel at ease? Don't you feel comfortable? Don't you feel relaxed? Allah Baktawfiq Nasir.